Hi guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast, the show dedicated to transforming your life. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Helen, and we're excited to bring you the best information on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and health. Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with Max's grand champion, Glenn Hall. Glenn, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Thanks, Steve. How are you?
I'm really well, mate. I'm so excited to spend some time chatting with you. But look, you know, just a few days ago, you found out that not only were you in the top 10, not only were you in the top three, but you took out and won the Max's May Challenge. How has the past couple of days been for you?
Oh, look, it's been surreal, really. I can't believe that I was chosen out of so many competitors. It was, I thoroughly enjoyed the process, but I'm still coming down to earth. At my age of 48, I thought I was past it. So my heart's still racing, actually. I can't believe a mild young bloke like me can actually achieve such great results in such a short period of time. So I'm absolutely blown away. It's been a fantastic process and I've loved every minute of it.
Mate, you should be so proud of the results that you've achieved, and it really speaks for the effort that you put in. Hopefully we could talk a little bit about that today. But look, Glenn, do you want to start off, mate, by giving us a little bit of an introduction about yourself? Maybe, you know, where you're from, what you do for work, and, you know, who is Glenn?
Look, I'm from a place called Kellyville in Sydney, sort of northwest of Sydney, about half an hour out of the city. I'm a chartered accountant. I've been a chartered accountant for over 20 years. And not long ago, I escaped the profession to become a business owner with my brother. And we now actually run a indoor plant servicing business. We have a franchise, and that certainly keeps me very busy on my toes, but also allows me the freedom that I've been looking for years to actually spend time with family and actually have some sort of quality of life. So that's more based on what the decision was about. Corporate world was just burning me out, and the big hours was not leaving me a lot of time to train or spend time with family. So I've now got that back and I'm on a totally different trajectory.
Yeah. I'm going to ask a really silly question. When you say an indoor plant servicing business, what does that involve? Do you like go to places and service the plants inside, or do people bring plants to you and service them? Like, how does it work?
Yeah, what the clients do, they're mostly corporate clients, top-end clients, banks, finance companies, in all of the large towers in the city and those sort of regions. They buy or lease a type of fit-out of plants within the offices, and we simply go through there. We own those plants and that fit-out, and we service them by watering, fertilising, trimming, making sure the plants are in tip-top condition so that those employees can at least have some greenery and some fresh air and get through their day, I suppose. So it's a pretty simple job. I think it's probably one of the best jobs in the world. So except for the early hours, which we'll go into, I'm sure.
Yeah. Before we dive into the podcast, I've got a funny story about indoor plants. So once upon a time, I used to work as a lifeguard at a swimming pool, right? This is before I was a personal trainer. And the swimming pool had like these plastic plants inside the location, the facility. Yep. And frequently we would have work experience kids come in to do work experience at the sports facility, right? Because, you know, there's a gym and such attached to it and everything. And I would always get the work experience kids to go and water the plants. There were plastic plants inside. And they'll go around and water the like dozen plants around the swimming pool. And then I'll come back. I'm like, oh, yeah, so by the way, they're just plastic. And they'll just like, you know, be so confused to me, like, what the hell have they done? Yeah. Anyway, I digress. But mate, enough about that. Let's keep talking about you. So I want to rewind to the very start of the May challenge. And my first question is, this was the first challenge that you did, right, in May? Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep. And I want to ask, you know, why did you choose to start the challenge? You know, was there a moment where you said, Glenn, like, it's time to do something about this? Or, you know, what led up to the decision of you doing the challenge?
Well, I guess quite frankly, I think I've been doing it wrong for so many years, and probably in the last, it probably crystallized in the last 3 or 4 years as I'm getting older and my shoulders are getting a bit sorer and, you know, pushing big weights for 20 years, there's the pitfalls of the injuries that go with it. And I was getting a little bit disenchanted with age, starting to put on a bit more weight. And I thought, you know, what am I going to do about this? I said, I kept saying to friends that I used to train with, I said, we've got to stop doing these big weights. We can't do it forever. Maybe we've got to pull back and increase our repetition. There's got to be a better way to do it because we're not changing our look. Our muscles are just going through a daily grind of exactly what we're giving them the same day in, day out, every week. We're not growing at all. We're not changing our body composition. And I said, I've always been into triathlons and water skiing and things like that. And I said, I want to get the lean and ripped look. I said, I'm sure it's achievable, but we're going about it the wrong way. You can't just push big weights. And as they say, every day can't be chest day. I wasn't doing much in the way of legs. I do a lot of running, which I love, but I had to change the approach. And none of my friends wanted to do it. They just wanted to, you know, we're going to get massive. The same old male ego of, we just want to get massive. And I was over that. I said, I don't want to get massive. I want to stay light and look after my joints. So there was that. And then I guess what crystallized everything was the whole COVID pandemic. My wife and I were a bit disillusioned. A couple of our triathlon events got cancelled. All the kids' sport got cancelled. And we were looking for something to aspire to and something to keep ourselves going whilst we were all in lockdown. And this was the perfect thing that came along. And I had looked at it before and I said, I want to do one of these one day. But it sort of crystallised because of COVID, and we just rolled our sleeves up and said, let's rip into this. This looks great. That's how it came about.
Wow. And you signed up with your partner?
Yeah, Leanne and I both decided we'd do it together and support each other. I must admit, she's all over the nutrition side. I've probably been a bit lazy in that regard. I've leaned on her a lot with regards to the food prep. She's got nutrition qualifications and bits and pieces, so that made my job a lot easier, but I was able to assist her with the resistance exercises because she hasn't done a lot of resistance training in the past. So we're able to help each other, and I think that certainly probably assisted me a lot with my results.
Yeah, the dream team working together, I love it.
Yeah.
Did you have any other support throughout the challenge, such as friends or family? I know that you were quite active in our little Facebook support group online, but did you have any other people around you supporting you through the challenge?
Apart from immediate family, my brother who I work with, my parents, I'm one of these people, I don't like to go out and tell everyone. I'm notoriously not a big brag or anything like that. I believe in proof is in what people see at the end of the day. A couple of people towards weeks 5, 6, 7 and 8 started noticing some differences when I'd turn up at my track sessions, which is track training. They started to say, geez, you're getting skinny, Glenn. And I'd say, oh, yeah, well, you know, I've been a bit stressed and this, that and the other. And I'm trying a few nutrition programs and this. I didn't want to ruin anyone's parade. I just wanted to keep it to myself. And my wife and I both said, look, it's winter anyway. Let's just lock down, give this a go and see what results we get. So I didn't want to brag and I didn't want to push it down anyone's neck. But, you know, with the results that came with it, things have somewhat changed. I even had some people thinking I was a bit sick. They were worried that I was not well because I'd lost so much weight in my face. I assured them that I'm very well indeed and I'm only getting faster. So, and then when the photos came out, people couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe the transformation. Like, yeah. It was amazing.
Amazing. Well, look, let's talk about some of the changes that you made. And you spoke quite a bit about nutrition and training, but can you speak a little bit more about, I guess the point I'm trying to make is it sounds like you came from a very fit lifestyle before. You know, you were training before, you've done some triathlon and stuff, you've come from a little bit of a sporty background. So it may be safe to say that the training side of things might have been not new to you. You know, you've done resistance training, you've done exercise before. Was it the nutrition side of things that you felt gave you the big change, or was it challenging your previous training styles to try something different? Like, what do you think was the big winner in this massive transformation that you've experienced?
I think the biggest winner, it's twofold, it's both, but I'd say the biggest winner is on the nutrition side. In my bio, I explained that my family and I, we have this amazing love of food, love of good food. I've never eaten bad food. I've just eaten too much. At night time, I'd consume twice what I consume now. I'd have 2 servings of dinner. I'd finish off everyone's leftovers. I've never left anything on a plate. And it's all good food. It's all good protein, rice, vegetables. But it was twice what my body needed to consume. And look, with the stresses of life and business, you know, you get into a rut where you could easily, between you and your wife, drink a bottle of wine a night, a bottle of red wine. So I was drinking too much. Not bad. I thought I could get away with it because I was doing triathlons and I'd go jogging and this, that and the other. But then I think the harsh reality was I'm late 40s. My cholesterol was high. I'd go for my regular 6-monthly check and my cholesterol kept going up and up and up to not dangerous levels, but at the top end of the spectrum. So I knew I had to do something about it. And I kept shaking my head going, well, I train. What's the problem? Why is my cholesterol so high? But I think I was missing the point that by eating twice my consumption, my body's going, well, what do I do with this excess? Okay, well, we'll carry that around your belly because we'll need that for when you're starving one day. And I ended up taking those habits through. So my training couldn't burn that all off. And my age, obviously things start to slow down as you get older. And I think I just started piling the weight on.
I think there is that massive fallacy where we are exercising, we are physically active, and we go, oh, well, I can eat whatever I want, right? And I think when we almost grow up in that environment where we're sporty, we're athletic, we're like, oh, yeah, this is fine. I can go and have pizza and beers on the weekend. It's fine. You know, I'll just run it off the week after. There'll be a tipping point where, you know, we can't keep training at the same intensity to match this food intake. Then, you know, our body almost adapts to this food intake, meaning that, you know, our hunger levels adapt to that. But our body still goes, well, you know, Steve, Glenn, it's just too much food, right? And it's really cliche, but you can't out-train a poor diet. And maybe your diet wasn't poor, you know? It sounds like you were having lots of good quality food. The challenge and the problem there is just lots of good quality food. And I think I'm in a very similar position where if you look at my personal diet, it's not bad food. I feel like it's good, nourishing food, but it's just high volumes. And that's where, you know, even me as Coach Steve, I struggle with my weight because I love food so much, right? And it's just something that I grew up with, and maybe you had a similar experience.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. Good food. And look, we've been spoiled in this country with great food, great produce, you know, various different foreign foods that we can enjoy, Indian, you know, Thai, Italian. We've got a great choice, good coffee. And I think we've just gone to excess. We all eat and drink too much. So I think we all need to pare it back and be more sensible with our consumption and look after our bodies, because the Western society, I think, has caused problems for all of us. We're all doing too much in the way of eating, and we should perhaps be doing a little more exercise and a little less on the consumption side.
I was going to say, like, it's so easy to get food, right? As in, like, a few clicks on a device and you've got food delivered to your front door, right? So it's even easier to get this, you know, hyper, ultra-processed, super-dense food in terms of energy to your front door without even thinking twice. So you could be eating within, you know, a couple of minutes, right?
That's right. And look, the second part of that, Steve, was about the weight training. And I guess the epiphany that happened there, and it was forced upon me because I chose the Lean and Rip program, and that's the only thing I was going to choose. I thought, I've got muscle content underneath this fat somewhere, and it'll come out in time, but I need to get rid of this fat that I've carried for years. So I think one thing I learned out of your programs, which I would love to pass on to everyone, is the circuit training and the body weight exercises. I've laughed at body weight exercises in the past. I see people in the gym, you know, getting down in their burpees, and I've almost arrogantly laughed at them. But I've benefited, I think, in this program so much. I mean, shoulder taps are my favourite, dips, you know, chin-ups, all the body weight exercises, push-ups, close hand push-ups, all this sort of stuff that you've taught me, and a lot of the core exercises, they're my favourite exercises now. I can't get enough of it. And I think that's helped to really, some of the definition I got in those final photos must have come from that. I don't know how I've achieved such a transformation, but the definition I've got at 48, I don't know where it comes from. It's unbelievable. And I think it is that core exercises, you know, the Swiss ball. And I didn't have expensive equipment. I'm in the backyard with the dog and my wife. Let's not get that confused. Wife up here, the little fella, and the dog, he sort of interrupted some of my training. But the body weight exercises and the body weight holds, I think, has really given me a great basis and a core. I think my body's enjoyed backing off the weights. Mm-hmm. I think I probably bench pressed 90% of what I used to when I was big. But to even bench press 90%, considering I've lost so much weight, I'm still very strong.
Yeah.
It's not about the weight you're lifting. It's about your form. First and foremost, about your form and about the repetition and actually burning some of that off. And I think that's what I've learned. For me, that's the key. For me and a lot of other men my age, and women also, is that we've got to get your heart rate up. You've got to get that high-intensity intervals type work going. And that's where those circuits, I think, were paramount at the end of the workout, but that really burnt me off at the end. So can't say enough about it. It's obviously worked.
Awesome. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, I think something about the circus at the end and, you know, using, I guess, training terminology, it's similar to like a Metcon, like a metabolic and conditioning style of training at the end. But, you know, you kind of are leaning towards this feeling of the pump, you know, leaning towards this feeling of leaving your workout sweaty and, you know, that little bit on the end, right? It's almost like a finisher at the end of your session. And you're right, you know, you could do those first couple of exercises, you're feeling good, and then like that style, the way the circuit's designed is more time-based. So, you know, let's say push-ups, you could smash out as many push-ups as you can in 30 seconds, then you've got a few other exercises to do, catch your breath, and then do it again, right? And you're guaranteed to leave, you know, sweaty, feeling good, you know, feeling that euphoric feeling, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, touching on weights training, I think that's interesting because there's always pros to being strong. But I think when we start to shift the focus of our training, where sometimes, you know, let's use in a bench press as an example. If you're training with, you know, all your bros, right, proper like gym bro style, and you're trying to lift as heavy as you can, you kind of stop thinking about what's happening in your body and your mind is really focused externally on the load and thinking, okay, how can I make it the easiest in my body to push this weight as fast as I can, right? And then, you know, we get into a position where we start cutting the edges off movements and we start modifying the movement to make it mechanically easier and easier so that we can just push more load, right? Sure, that's great if you want to compete in a sport where strength is important, such as powerlifting, Olympic lifting, strongman sports. Totally fine. When we shift that focus from the external load to the internal, what's happening in the body, that's when you go to a position where you're, okay, well, what if I took away a fraction off the top? You know, you went to 90% of what you were training, but then you focused on what's happening in your body. Okay, what are my shoulder joints doing? What are my shoulder blades doing? Your scapula? What is my torso, my thoracic spine doing? Am I breathing through the movement? You know, can I feel my triceps working? And once your brain starts thinking about all those things, I'm sure your experience with the bench press changed tenfold. You went from, you know, benching, let's use a number, 100 kilos for 10 reps, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's fine. But then you took the load off slightly and went to maybe 90 kilos, and you're like, all right, what if I really feel the movement? And you struggle to get 10 reps out at 90 kilos, and you go, what the hell happened, you know? Am I weaker? No, you're not weaker. Like, if I told you to push, you'd be able to push it, right? But the effect on your body amazing, where we get this good muscle activation and we get this different result in the body. You feel great, and then you end up looking like you, where you're like, oh well, this is incredible. How did I not know how to train like that before, right?
No, you're right. It's the mind muscle connection, really engaging the mind as you're doing the, not having that distraction. Maybe working out at home allowed me to find that, and always had the music on and everything, but without that disruption. And also in my case, I think some of the training buddies I've had in the past, God love them, but it probably haven't helped me. You know, I've worked, my last training buddy was a massive dude and he was so strong. He'd bench press 130 and I'd be struggling to get 100 out, and my shoulders were so sore, I was only injuring myself. And I kept saying, I can't do this, you know, stop making me do extra weight. I'm happy doing higher reps because I've got to protect those shoulders. So you're different to someone else. And I think everyone's got to assess their own progress of their own journey rather than trying to compare them to the next person, because we are all different. We do have different injuries that we're going to look after. I had to be very careful with all my shoulder exercises because I do have ex-football injuries and things. So a lot of your training I couldn't do, but because your system's so fantastic, I just swapped that out for something else. So there's nothing I couldn't do.
Yeah. I do want to highlight that point where sometimes our environment isn't supportive of our own genetics. And this is the unfortunate reality of training and exercise, is that we are limited by our own genetics, right? Yeah. And you might have a training buddy who may have the bone structure, muscle structure, and we'll categorize it as genetics to be able to comfortably bench press 130 kilos, as an example. And sure, you will be able to build yourself up to that position, but if you're not there yet, you know, you are just asking for that injury over and over again by either trying to keep up with him or by him inadvertently trying to, you know, pull you along with his training. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't train with, you know, your partner who might be stronger than you, or train with a friend who might be stronger than you. But there's that time where we need to be real to ourselves and go, hey, maybe I can't be that strong yet. And that's okay. It's okay to say that, because you'll probably see better results by, you know, scaling it back slightly, thinking about the movement, and then actually progressing rather than struggling at the higher end forever and not getting anywhere.
That's right. And that's why it comes back to good form. And you've got to prioritize form before weight. And I think what I benefited from, especially being home and not being at a gym with my limited equipment, was I clicked on your videos all the time. And I'd say, hang on, am I doing that right? And I'd click on it again whilst I'm out the backyard. And I kept playing your videos and I'd say, no, I've got my back wrong, or I've got that set wrong on my chest. And that was great. So I actually developed some really good form and really good habits by having that video to watch before I did the repetitions. So, and as I say, I swapped out the ones I couldn't do, like cable machines, anything cable. Like, I don't have a cable machine, but I've got kettlebells, I've got barbells, I've got the big cage. So I was able to improvise, I suppose.
Yeah.
I can't do squats without having the plates under my heels. I have very poor flexibility in my Achilles. Even though I stretch, that's my genetics. So I have to prop up my heels with fist plates, otherwise I can't squat. all that extra load on my back. So you just, everyone's different and everyone's just got to watch your videos and make sure they're getting their form right before, you know, they start doing the wrong thing and hurting themselves.
Now, did you ever film yourself doing exercise and then reflect on watching yourself do the movement?
My wife did film me doing some deadlifts. Mm-hmm. That was probably when I was doing the 3-rep deadlift. So that was probably purely just to see how much I was lifting. But no, I guess I'm not one to sort of film myself doing exercises as such. Mm. I asked Leanne to check my form from time to time just to make sure I was coming up nice and straight, mainly protecting my back and my shoulders, mm-hmm. which is something I've just got to be careful of. Yep. And she would say, no, look, I'd say, am I squatting enough? Am I actually getting down in the bend enough? Because I don't have very good flexibility in my legs. Whereas you seem to almost touch the ground with your bum there, Steve. So,
look, I've just been doing it for ages. Look, all I would say is that I think it's really invaluable, if that's the right way to say it, to film yourself and reflect on it. And you don't need to film yourself to with the purpose of posting it online. That's not the point of it. But filming yourself and then reflecting on it, I think, is way more valuable than asking somebody. And, you know, I'm sure that your partner is more than qualified to be able to tell you, you know, did you make that type of thing? But if you want to really sit there and find out exactly what's happening in the body, you will be your best critic, right? And then once you have a series of videos, so let's say every week, as an example, you film yourself doing squats and you start to compare week one to week two to week three to week four. And then you've got four videos and you go, oh, wow, I'm actually improving. Like, wow, look at how high I can keep my chest up, even though the weight hasn't changed, but you could see the quality of the movement. You go, oh, I actually look so comfortable with that load on my back, or a bench press. Yeah. And you're like, oh, wow, like in week one, my elbows are flaring out. I'm doing like weird chicken wing things. And then in week four, my elbows are tucked in and it feels so much better. So if you're listening to this, my coaching tip is to actually set up the camera, be that person in the gym to film yourself, not with the intention to post it online. You don't have to post it online. It's more for your own reflective process. And I think that is just so important for long-term improvements in that technique, right?
Yeah, well, a lot of people on the Maxes and Maxine Facebook page did post for everyone to look at mm-hmm. some of their form. And I thought, yeah, look, it is a good idea. And at least they could assess their progress. So look, it's something I haven't done, but mm-hmm. I'll probably look into that for sure.
I'd recommend it. And look, like if you do post it online, you do need to be, you need to take some of the comments with a grain of salt because, yeah. you know, when we start to crowdsource information, there is the chance that information isn't completely correct. And some people almost get an enjoyment out of like poking holes at everybody's technique. In the majority of cases, looking at something like a squat, it is functionally okay. But I guess sometimes people can point out things that you might not be looking at and going, hey, did you know that you're staring at the ground the entire time? Like, why don't you look forward? And you're like, oh, I didn't know that I'm doing that, right? Until yeah. you watch that video. But look, let's talk about some challenges, right? So I think with everybody's experience with the challenge, they have their own barriers and challenges that they have to overcome. And can you speak a little bit about some things that you had to overcome to achieve such an amazing result that you did?
You know, I think probably the hardest thing for me in being the Lean and Rip Challenge was the calorie deficit. I knew I'd be up against it. You can't change, and I won't call it a bad habit, overeating good food. You can't change those difficult habits overnight. So I knew I'd be maybe have some sleepless nights when my stomach was in knots and it would cause some trouble. But literally I made the decision, it was a mind decision. I made the decision in my head that I'm going to follow your program, nutrition and workout program to the letter, because otherwise I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting everyone's time. I'm wasting my family's time that I could perhaps spend with them. So I followed it to the nth degree and probably overdid it a bit. We could talk about that, but on my workouts, I always put in more than the standard. That's just how I am. So I think that was the biggest challenge, was going hungry and feeling like a lot of my workouts, because the Lean Ripped workouts are quite extensive, I had to really drag myself through some days. You have your good weeks and bad weeks, but I found that my energy levels were quite low compared to in the past. In the gym, I felt I could sort of push out pretty well and get through the hour okay, whereas a lot of the times there, I was really dragging myself through. I just didn't have the energy to – I finished all the sets, but my strength was down.
Yeah.
But then the results came. The weight just fell off me. And look, I know that's not going to be the same for everyone. We're all different. But I very much dropped those calories from day one, and I think that's a big thing to learn. It's not like – you've got to make that commitment. It's not something that you can say, well – I'll go in at the first 4 weeks and I'll see how I go. You need to do it from day one. And my stomach adapted pretty quickly and I didn't have that much discomfort. And before I knew it, I have to say 2 or 3 weeks in, I was actually feeling fine and I didn't crave those bigger servings and I haven't craved them since. I think my stomach's now at that size that it only needs what it needs. And I've certainly kept up the supplements and the proteins and the BCAAs and creatine. I'm now converted. I wasn't a big supplement taker before, but now I realise that they're a very important part of the mix. So I'm sticking to that sort of regime to make sure that my muscles sort of repair themselves and are ready for the next day.
Yeah.
And it's only benefited my running and my external training as well.
Very good. I do want to touch on hunger because I think that is a common barrier, especially for guys. You know, when we look at dieting and we, you know, go into this unknown meal plan, we start to wonder, it's like, oh, well, I don't really want to be hungry. You know, no one likes being hungry, right?
Yeah.
And you kind of mentioned it where it took maybe, you know, 2 or 3 weeks for you to adapt to the volume of food. Is that right? Was it about that 2 to 3, maybe a month for it to adapt?
Absolutely. My wife used to serve my dinner and I said, are you kidding me? I said, where's the rest?
Yeah.
And literally, I think my calories were slightly more than hers. So I could hardly tell the difference between her serving size and mine. And I'm going, hang on a minute, I think I've been ripped off here. But The funny thing is, because I'd made that decision in the mind that I was sticking it out, I think that overrode the pain I had in the gut of missing out on that extra food. And I just stuck to it. So it's, I mean, the power of the mind is something I very strongly believe in. When you're convinced that you're going to see something through, I think people need to make that conscious decision. They can't do this half-assed. They have to go 100% into it and commit to it because they owe it to themselves to change their bad habits. And we've all got them and we all get in ruts at different times throughout our lives. And that was the commitment I made. And in all honesty, it wasn't that hard. It really wasn't. And the other thing I'd like to say is that this isn't a fad. You shouldn't be doing this to do a 12-week fad and then say, I'll go back to my old habits. This is a lifestyle choice. This is a health choice for your family and the wider community and for your friends. And you can teach them these good habits. When they see the change that you achieve, this is something you need to pass on to other people and give back to other people. It's not about me. I've learned some amazing concepts here, amazing techniques, and I'm going to pass that on to whoever I can and whoever wants to listen because it's a lifestyle choice. It's not a fad. Yeah, 12-week challenge, it's good fun and good competition, but I'm going to stay like this. I won't look any different, except I might have a bit more muscle. That's about it. There's no going back to old ways.
So good. That's the mindset that we hope to instill in everybody. And yeah, sure, like we're a company that runs a 12-week challenge. Yeah, that's what we do. But the bigger picture is that we're trying to promote health to people. And it might take 12 weeks of a mini, I'm using quotation marks here, like a boot camp. You know, we're doing 12 weeks of intense training and nutrition. When we leave that 12-week environment, we've learned skills, we've learned basic things, we've learned portion control, we've learned how to exercise, we've learned little things, how to do a warm-up, we've learned the importance of sleep, we know that water plays a massive role in this, and all these little things compiled together, when we leave the 12-week training environment or the challenge environment, then it becomes a lifestyle. And hopefully, we hope that we develop enough skills that when we send you off into the world of cookies and chocolate and, you know, watching Netflix and, you know, sleep-ins and all these other things that you have the skills to go, hey, that's okay. This chocolate I can enjoy if I want, but I'm also going to choose to have a salad every now and then. I'm going to choose to bring a bottle of water when I go out in public so that I'm not thirsty and don't buy that Coke again. I'm going to choose to turn off the TV and go for a walk out in nature because that's what I enjoy now. And when you make those changes, that's when it's easy, right? And I'm sure now you've made enough changes in your lifestyle that eating food is easy, training is easy. Can you speak a little bit about how maybe your lifestyle has changed? And sure, you would have been those challenging times, but now it's almost easy. Can you speak a little bit about transition into this fit and new Glenn?
Yeah, well, I think, as I say, I kept saying it wasn't that hard. My running training is exactly the same as what it was. Everyone seems to think that I'm doing 5 times more sessions in running and training to lose all this weight. And it wasn't that. It's purely the high intensity circuit training and getting those repetitions up and getting away from those heavy weights. So really it was just adapting and changing the mindset, not so much about changing the routine. That was the main thing for me. And the other thing is the 12 weeks for me is a training course. It's like doing a tech course or a uni degree. Mm-hmm. For me, that was, and I'm the live subject, I'm the project. I don't believe on doing it to someone else. You've got to learn from yourself before you can talk about anything. You're not an expert unless you've done it yourself. So the 12 weeks to me was my training and upskilling course to see if it would work. And I knew it would work. I didn't have doubts. I knew it would work. I didn't realise to what extent. I had no idea that this is the end result, because I've never, ever had a six-pack in my life. I've got something that looks something like a six-pack, I think. I never thought it was possible. I've never had that. Yeah, as I say, people don't realise it's me. They think I'm someone else. That's something to be learned. And you can't learn that from someone else. You have to go through the process yourself. But the 12 weeks is not a fad. It's a training course on yourself and your own body and your own mindset.
I love that mindset. I love that approach. It's a training course. You know, it's an educational thing for yourself, right?
Absolutely.
From here, I have a few questions for you, a little bit of like kind of like speed dating. It's going to be great. So the first question here is, what's your favorite exercise?
It wasn't before, but now it's deadlifts.
Ooh, okay. Deadlifts. Love it. What kind of deadlifts do you enjoy? Just the conventional deadlifts, or do you dabble in sumo deadlifting and such?
I tried sumo deadlifting and it hurts too much. So no, conventional deadlifts for me, because I generally can put big weight on there. Mm-hmm. And I use a reverse grip, and I use also the hand bands, the hand supports, because mm-hmm. my wrists do give way a bit.
Yeah.
But no, I love the hamstring core work. It's the best. It's the best afterburn. Best feel.
All right, let's talk about cardio. Now, you've spoken a little bit about how you enjoy running, you're part of running groups. And are you still a fan of doing like formal cardio like that, or do you have a love-hate relationship with it?
No, I love cardio, but mainly short cardio. So short sessions, bringing the heart rate right up mm-hmm. and then backing it off and letting it come back down. So most of my running friends, they do long distance running. They love all the ultra stuff. I've done a few ultra events and a few ultra trail events, 50K events and all that, City of the Surf. But my favorite distance is 5 kilometers, and my favorite running events is sprint work. So I'm a sprinter. So I love bringing the heart rate up and then backing it right off and doing short, sharp sessions, which is why circuit training is gold. And I loved it, just going from exercise to exercise. And it hurt. It really hurt. But I love pushing myself and then just sitting in a pool of sweat. and I think that's really what helped everything lean up.
Yeah.
The workouts.
Let's talk about flexing. What's your favorite muscle to flex?
Probably the pecs.
The pecs. Okay, I like that. A little bit of side chest. Yep. All right, let's talk about dinner. So what was your go-to dinner during the challenge?
Oh, well, it's the barbecue. It's the crispy skin salmon.
Ooh,
crispy skin salmon on the barbecue with roasted vegetables. There's capsicum, some sweet potato slices, some halloumi cheese.
Ooh,
and
nice.
Some broccolini.
So good. Love it. All right, let's talk about protein powder. What's your favorite flavor of protein powder?
To eat vanilla.
Vanilla?
It goes with everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, you can put it on ice cream. You can put it on, sticky date pudding. It's great.
So good. All right. And then the shred bars. Did you have the shred bars?
No, I didn't have shred bars. I had protein bars because I take them to work because I'm on my feet all the time. Mm-hmm. That was my snack. It was either an apple or a protein bar.
Protein bar. So good. Mate, let's talk about, let's finish up here with advice. So if someone came to you and was like, Glenn, you know, your transformation is amazing. I want to get fit and healthy. Or, you know, Glenn, I'm about to start the Max's Challenge. What advice would you give somebody?
I think the most important thing is don't overdo it. You've got to just stick to the program. And that was my decision from day one. I could have changed your program 20 times because I like doing heavy weights. But I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to see this through to the letter. I've chosen the Lean and Rip program. So stick to the program because it just works. And I knew that if I detracted from it or changed it up, then I wouldn't get the results. And if I got it at the end of 12 weeks, if I didn't get the results, well, then I could probably say, well, I should have done something else. But I'll tell you what, I'm sitting here as the winner and I'm not a bragger, but that's all I had to do. There was nothing magic about this other than sticking to the program. And the other thing is making sure you concentrate on form. And your video content was paramount. So making sure that you judge good form and you stick to a good training regime. Because with poor form, and I noticed there were a lot of posts of people getting injuries, mm-hmm. and some of them were prior injuries or that just brought other stuff out. But I think the danger is with those who, and I've come from a fitness background, but people who've come from a non-fitness background to suddenly start a program, bang, and to put their body through the weights regime and whatnot. If they don't do it with correct form, I think they can come away with injuries. So that's probably the most important thing, is to make sure they're doing things properly and easing their body into it. Mm-hmm. Because nutrition should be a given. Everyone can do that from day one, but you must have good form so that you don't injure yourself.
Totally agree. Yeah, I think just adding on to form and technique, I think what's almost more important than that is that idea of load management. And it really comes down to, you know, doing too much too quickly, right? Where you've gone from sitting on the couch for forever and then now you want to start running an ultra marathon, right? Maybe too much load too quickly. Sure, your running technique might not be spot on. Sure, whose running technique is spot on? I don't know. But I guess it's all about slowly building up tolerance in our body. And that might mean that you slowly build up weights and weights training. That means you slowly build up your running mileage over time. I think load management, in my eyes, would trump technique every day of the week because we want to ease our body into things. But look, mate, let's wrap it up there. You know, Glenn, I want to take a moment just to thank you for donating your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. And once again, a big congratulations on this amazing result that you've achieved. And I know that you'll continue to be a role model and inspire people to live a healthier life, you know, within your circles, within the people that you're connected with, and then also within our larger online communities. So for that, Glenn, you know, I want to thank you so much and a big congratulations on winning the Maxis Challenge.
Thanks, Steve. That's awesome, mate. Look, I can't thank you and the team, the Maxis team, enough. I really appreciate the program you've put together. It really does work. There are real achievable results that people can obtain out there if they stick to it. And it's only 12 weeks. But it'll be life-changing. It really will. And look, no matter whether you win or you just give it a go, there's real results for your health and to your fitness, an example to your children that people shouldn't be passing up on. And it's not expensive. You just have to do it. You got to commit yourself. And I'm happy being an ambassador and I'm happy putting in and helping out and advising people, those newbies coming along. I'm going to put my hand up and do some mentorship. Not a problem. I'm happy to motivate people because I know a lot of people struggle with commitment. I don't. If I say I'm going to do something, you know, I finish it to the letter. But a lot of people do, and I'm there to help.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.